Well, the cargo ship that struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was most certainly caused by a cyber attack. Excellent journalist Laura Logan confirmed that last week, speaking to her intelligence sources, both inside the Biden administration, who are currently there still working, and outside the Biden administration confirming this. This was a cyber attack. And now we're learning that the shipping company that owns the ship just filed a court document, a legal petition, saying we had nothing to do with this. Quote, the bridge collapse was not due to any fault, neglect, or want of care on the part of the petitioners, the vessel, or any persons or entity for whose acts petitioners may be responsible. That sounds like something that was written in the 1700s, but it is in fact a modern document, and they're saying, hey, in other words, yeah, it was our ship, but we didn't have any control over that ship. Investigative journalist Laura Logan is the great journalist who broke the cyber attack story initially, and we're thrilled to have her here on Redacted. Laura, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Clayton.
So many questions, of course, emerging about this, but I just want to get first your reaction to the ship. Now, this could be playing insurance politics with this. We had nothing to do with this. You know, we had nothing to do with this, but now you're having the owners of the ship coming out and saying, we had nothing to do with this. Not the captains, not the people piloting the ship. The ship itself was not broken. There was nothing wrong with this. We didn't have anything to do with this. What's your response to that?
So this is a very interesting statement because it is very definitive. You know, it's not, they're not hedging their bets. There's no wiggle room there. They are stating in very clear terms that they are not in any way responsible. So if it comes to questions of, you know, maintenance, was the ship's gear up to standard? You know, was there an error from the captain or the crew? They're telling you in legal terms that none of that is true according to them. Now, we, you know, as a journalist, I'm always conscious of what I don't know. And we really don't have any, I have not spoken to the owners of the ship. You know, I have not talked to the company. I'm not in contact with their lawyers. So I'm not going to speculate or try to guess what's in their minds. We can go by what they have filed, that's significant. But what I will tell you here, Clayton, is over the years, because I've been a journalist now for more than 35 years, one of the things that I have learned to look for is the absence of normal, right? Because there's a pattern of life. There's a pattern to the way things are always done. We talk about it often, right? When somebody is killed, there's a normal expectation of how people grieve. And when people grieve differently, well, you always say, well, that's a little bit odd. What's going on there, right? And it raises a red flag and you ask a question. So these are what you call indicators. They're not definitive by any means, but they are indicators. And so in this kind of situation, we have four very strong indicators that are abnormal. One is that this company has filed this very definitive statement in a court of law. Right. So it's not just something that they're spinning to the media. They're willing to go on record in a legal forum. So that adds some weight to it. Then you have the fact that we haven't heard from any of them. I mean, normally in a situation like this, especially with something as big as the strategic port of Baltimore, the biggest strategic port on the Eastern Seaboard, one of the most important hazardous materials corridors in the United States of America. I mean, really a critical linchpin of the Baltimore economy and something that is going to impact people for years to come, right? And people are going to feel it at the gas pump, at, you know, in the grocery store and all across industry. This is going to have a massive impact on people's lives. Now, it may not be a catastrophic impact that you sense, you know, overnight, but it is nevertheless of such significant strategic significance that it's very odd that you see this being downplayed and minimized, right? So that raises another question. Then when you see very, very quickly the people like the FBI come out and say definitively, this is not a cyber attack. You know, when you haven't had time to investigate it, and also if you know anything at all about cyber attacks, right? These are the most difficult attacks in a sense to prove because they're invisible. You can't see this happening. And also, as you know, like, you know, sometimes my daughter will call me from her bedroom in the same house. Well, that phone call, you know, as your audience I'm sure knows, you know, it didn't go straight from her bedroom to my bedroom. It went to a tower somewhere, went to another tower, and at the base of every tower is a server, and these things ping all over the world. Well, it's very difficult to trace when a signal, a GPS signal is spoofed, when somebody else takes con really, takes over that signal and is feeding inputs into it that deceive and mask its true path, so that the people on board the ship are looking at it, they say, "Oh, the ship's on course." But it's the middle of the night and they're looking out. Maybe somebody on the crew is looking out and they're a little bit confused because it doesn't quite look like they're in exactly the right spot, but they look again at the GPS. Oh, it says we're on course. This is something very easy to identify. You can see when it's happening if you know what you're talking about. If you work in intelligence or cyber attacks or counterintelligence, or for the CIA, many other places across our government where we have qualified people who know what they're looking at. But when you now get into the investigative process and you now have to find that footprint, good luck, right? It's the exact same thing. I laugh at the people who say, "Oh, this crazy journalist is now linking this to the voting machines." The point is that if you can't see inside those machines and you don't read code, you have no chance of knowing what happened. And if it's very easy for programmers to write code that masks what they did, that hid it. So really with cyber, this is an invisible crime. And so that's another red flag. When you have something like an invisible crime and you have investigators who haven't even investigated coming out being definitive, that is abnormal, right? That's not what normally happens in these situations. And then the fourth thing that's a big red flag for me, it's very easy. And for anyone with half a brain, anyone who's a decent journalist can talk to any number of people across industry, across the oil industry, across, in Baltimore, in any one of our strategic think tanks. I mean, you name it. There is no denying that the port of Baltimore is an absolutely critical strategic port, and that this was a massive, almost nuclear hit on our critical infrastructure. So when you see people out there en masse attacking and denying that very simple, provable fact, that's also another big red flag indicator that there's more going on here.
Yeah, almost immediately, the Biden administration comes out in the morning. President Biden makes a statement before his flight to North Carolina. We've identified nothing to see here, nothing nefarious. We are going to rebuild everything, which I don't recall them saying that about East Palestine, Ohio, or Lahaina, or anything else, right? This is, we're going to fix it. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. We're going to get that port back up and running again. And then flies off. The NTSB hadn't yet investigated. They admitted 2 days later they hadn't even arrived on the ship yet to start their initial assessment to find out if there was any other electronic recording, then recovering the black box with 2 minutes of missing data from the critical moment. How can they make that assessment? How can the FBI and the White House make that assessment? And then you have cybersecurity experts on the inside in the intelligence community telling you this was a cyber attack and they're lying about this.
That's absolutely correct. Everything you just said is 100%. And your audience will be nodding their heads, right? Because they know. People know in their gut. With the last election, no one since Grover Cleveland, right? It was more than, I think it was 136 years. No incumbent had grown their vote with their base, with independents, and with minorities, and ever lost an election. So before you even addressed one single court case or one single polling station or anything else, people knew in their gut, hey, something's not right here. And
Right.
that's exactly what you're talking about. And then it's confirmed, right, by all of these red flags when on their own, this is troubling. But when you take all of those things together, they start to add up to a very troubling picture. And when you look, one thing I know for sure, Clayton, and I bet you can recognize this too, along with many other people at this point. When you see the level of effort, time, effort, and resources are great indicators for how important it is for them to suppress something. So if I was saying something that wasn't true, that didn't have any substance to it, why bother to come after me with such ferocity? Why are you pouring so much time and effort into trying to discredit me if everything I'm saying is untrue? And the reason for that is that when things are true, they have this awful habit of just sticking, right? Because a lie has no legs. It's just like that bridge when you took out that anchor point. What happens? It just starts to collapse. And what do you have to do? You have to keep telling more lies to hold that up. And so when you're telling the truth, it just, it's that there's that nagging thing in the back of somebody's mind when they're like, wow, they just can't dismiss it because they know that it's true. Now, if you're ideologically blinded or you're determined not to see the truth no matter what, or you've been so manipulated and deceived at this point, you're sitting in your feedback loop, your manipulated, you know, technology feedback loop, only hearing the things you want to hear, only, you know, having your views reaffirmed, well, then maybe it's difficult for you to go outside of your bubble. But when you look at all these people, like, you know, I have people close to me who get upset and they say, oh, look at all these bots and all these negative comments on your page. I look at that and I say, that's great, because that means I've broken through my feedback loop, right? That little bubble they wanted to keep me in where I couldn't reach anybody else, I broke through that. And you know what? It's not up to me to convince people. My job is to gather the facts, use reliable sources, vet and verify. And when I've done that, I'm willing to put my reputation on the line and to put that out. But it's up to the audience. That people can make up their own minds. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. What I can tell you is I was told the day that that happened to look out for more smaller incidents, particularly incidences involving critical infrastructure, but also with waterways and bridges. And what happened? There was another barge that crashed into a bridge over the weekend. Now, I haven't investigated that. I'm not stating anything definitive on that at all. But it's, you know, it stood out to me because I was warned days in advance to expect to see something more like that. And you know why? You know why I was told that, Clayton? Because the people that I have been speaking to were trained in this type of warfare by the United States government. They have carried out these kinds of attacks in other countries. When you are dismantling a country or you're taking over a country, what do you think you go after? You go after critical infrastructure, because little bit by little bit, this is why I said it's called death by a thousand cuts. Little bit by little bit, you start to cut off strategic supply lines and you start to hit people where it hurts most in terms of energy, food, and communications, right? Look what we saw with AT&T not so long ago. And now we find out all information from AT&T has been leaked onto the dark web and so on, right? These are small cuts that attack our most critical life support systems that every single one of us needs to survive. So they are really food, electricity, communications. You know, I mean, these are things that, you know, if we were to lose all of those all at the same time, if they were to effect some of these attacks or all of them at the same time, they would paralyze the United States.
Why do you think the Biden administration is lying about this? Why do you think they're covering this up and so vehemently? And of course, as you pointed out, most news organizations aren't covering the story at all, just talking about some of the economic damage and, you know, how the port won't be able to reopen. But there's really no further journalism happening on this. But it seems like they're just all radio silence. If they wanted to pin this on Russia, you would think that they would be out in force telling us about the great Russian threat. Or if this was China, you'd think at least some members of the administration would be saying that this was China that attacked us here. And first of all, do we know who it is? And why do you think they're being silent on this?
Well, this is, you know, obviously a question for the Biden administration, right? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could actually hear a journalist ask someone from the White House or from the administration, right, you know, exactly that question and let them answer? And also, Clayton, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, they're never going to answer that. Let the country see them refusing to answer that question or avoiding answering that question, because that in itself is a response. That in itself is a very important answer. And what we do, if we don't ever ask these questions of the right people, right, the people who are actually responsible for those decisions, we just allow them to get away with it. So that's very frustrating for me. I'm not in the White House press corps. I'm not standing up there, you know, confronting people on the podium every day. And so so I'm not in a position to ask that publicly, but it would be, sure would be great. And there are a few very brave reporters there, like Peter Doocy, right, from Fox News, who does an extraordinary job of standing up day after day when his colleagues basically sit there and betray. I mean, if we took an oath as journalists, they have betrayed it. It is an unspoken oath, right? That our job is to speak truth to power and to find, you know, and to try to find out the truth and the whole truth, and that we have a healthy degree of skepticism and we don't just take people at their word and so on. And there are big questions here, like what about the insurance? You know, if you insurance is a very important indicator for us in understanding the impact of COVID and the so-called vaccine mandates, right? Because if you look at the insurance companies, their bottom line is there in black and white and in numbers, in cents and dollars. So they're not hiding how many people are dying, because these premiums are going up, life expectancy is going down, and you know, and all of these markers that have been sort of pillars of the insurance industry for a very long time are shifting because you've got so many people dying. And so you can go to somewhere like the insurance companies, and you can get a very good, independent, non-political barometer of what the truth is. Well, you know, that raises some very important questions here. Because one, you've got the administration leaping forward to say, we'll pay for everything. Doesn't that sound a little bit like you want to keep that company quiet?
Right.
Wouldn't that be a great question to ask the administration? You know, are you trying to appease the company? And how come they're not claiming this on their insurance? Because every ship in the ocean, every shipping container has insurance, right? And is covered. Otherwise, they can't function. They can't operate. So I would be very interested in looking as a journalist at what happens, you know, with the insurance company moving forward. As to, you know, what is my analysis based on what I know and what I see of the strategic picture right now and where we are in the country a few months out from what is, you know, arguably the most important election in the history, you know, of this nation. I would say that the things that are red flags for me are when I have never in all my years as a journalist, which is more than 35 now, I have never seen so many disasters in critical infrastructure. You know, one, we had COVID hit the supply lines. That was absolutely catastrophic. Not just to this economy, but to economies all over the world that have never recovered. We saw catastrophic damage to the middle class, to small family businesses, to small farms, to family farms. All of these things have never recovered, and they've never been addressed. Then when you look at the policies that are being implemented, you know, against the climate policies that are being used to shut down farmers and to seize farmlands, and to target farm animals and the farming industry and the regulations that have been used to shut down farmers. What you are seeing over time, and remember, death by a thousand cuts, right? Over time, what you are seeing is a massive strategic assault on the food industry, right? There are a lot of things when I go to the grocery store that I used to be able to get very easily before COVID that have never come back to our grocery shelves. They have never, ever come back, right? And people, they don't ask why not. There are a lot of things in industry and construction that are much harder now to get, or things that are much more expensive. All of these things collectively have led us to a point where we're in, you know, we're really suffering. Americans are really paying the price when they go to the grocery store, when they go to the gas station, when if you're in construction or any other industry, right? Where your inputs, they've all gone up. No one's talking about it. The petrodollar is under assault. I mean, we have an administration that declared war on the energy industry from the moment they took office. When they put permits, you know, for research and development in government lands, when they put those permits on hold, they sent a message to the oil industry, your leases, your contracts with the federal government are not secure. And when you're in the oil industry, which requires a lot of money, it's heavy on research and development investment up front, and the payout comes later, people are not stupid. They're not going to, you know, leverage themselves for millions and millions of dollars knowing that the people who are in power can just take those leases back, cancel them, or suspend them, freeze them indefinitely at any moment. That's going to cripple you. So when you look at that, and then you look at climate policies, you know, that are like the highest emission standards for automobiles that are going to basically put gas cars, you know, out of business, right? Nobody's even going to be selling them in a few years. And then you look at, wait a minute, they've used more than 400,000 barrels of our strategic oil reserve. That's more than 60% of our strategic oil reserve. And what are we doing to replenish that? We're not doing anything to replenish that. And then we've got the BRICS nations and the whole financial industry, right? And you've got Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, who are effectively joining with other countries, Saudi Arabia now, Turkey and beyond, that are removing themselves from the petrodollar. So, I mean, if you speak to anyone in finance, they will tell you that if the petrodollar collapses, the dollar collapses, and this country is in real trouble. So why do we not hear anyone from the Biden administration talking about that? Why do we have all these fires at food processing plants? Suddenly, they're everywhere. And you notice how here's a pattern, because as journalists, we look for patterns, right? As intelligence analysis, we look for patterns. So what do you see? Well, you see one fire, and then you see another fire, then another fire, and then another fire, right? And so what happens there is each individual fire is explained away, and you can get a logical explanation for it, and that sounds reasonable. But what they don't want you to do is to start to connect these dots, right? And that's what investigators do. Maybe the reason the Biden administration is going to pay for this, and they don't want to hold the company or the insurance company liable, is because they don't want those independent insurance investigators looking into this, right? They want to leave it in the hands of the federal government. The NTSB, what do they know about cyber attacks? Absolutely nothing. That is not their field of expertise. They are not, you know, so they are not really the people that you want. If this was a cyber attack, would you want the NTSB to be the lead investigator, or would you want Cyber Command? Well, if Cyber Command was any good at this, you would want them, right? But, you know, most of the people I speak to, even in cyber and in intelligence, say that we're in real trouble. Our cyber command capabilities for investigating this are not where they should be. You know, that if you really look at what has kept America safe over the years, Clayton, is we have put as much distance as possible between ourselves and our adversaries. We do not want to go back into a First World War, Second World War type of situation where you're talking about 50, 60,000 people dying in one battle. No, we have said, no. We maintain our dominance by something called overmatch, right? So that when you go onto the battlefield, you may have a devastating attack in Iraq or Afghanistan that killed 2, 3, 4, maybe 9, maybe 10 soldiers. But do you ever hear of an attack that killed 200 American soldiers in one go? You know, those are the kind of numbers. So we have worked very hard to put as much distance between ourselves and our adversaries. And in order to do that, we have poured billions, if not trillions of dollars of taxpayer money over the years into developing advanced capabilities that put us way ahead. What we have been systematically doing since Obama took office, it may have started earlier, but I've been documenting it since Obama's time. We have been systematically reducing that. I have spoken to people at a very high level within Space Command whose orders are, we do not want overmatch in space. We want parity. Why would we want parity, equality, with our adversaries, where we can really be harmed or where we have a real chance of losing, right, on the battlefield? Why would you want that? You know, if your goal was to protect the United States and defend this country at all costs and strengthen this nation, you would not be doing things that systematically break down this nation's ability to defend itself. You would not, for example, somebody else that I spoke to in Special Operations Command, who was years ago, his job under the Obama administration, he was attached to the State Department in nuclear counterproliferation. He discovered that one of our key counterproliferation systems had been turned off under Obama. The guy that was supposed to be monitoring every incremental change in key strategic areas for nuclear proliferation was playing games on his computer and had been for more than a year. On the orders of his superiors, he had been told to stand down and turn off that monitoring system. Why would you do that if your goal was to protect this country at all costs? You wouldn't. So I'm not going to speculate as to why this administration is doing that. I'm not going to guess at what's in their heads. I'm going to tell you as a journalist that every single indicator I see in every direction tells me that the people in positions of power and authority who are making these decisions have not prioritized the protection of this country. are working to systematically reduce our advantage in every single arena. And for me, the logical conclusion is that they are not the allies and supporters and defenders of this country, but they are the enemies within.
Yeah, they're the ones that are carrying out treason right in front of our eyes, and they're inside the White House, they're inside the halls of Congress right now. Just look at the southern border, for crying out loud. And over the past 48 hours, we've had France go on high alert for a terrorist attack. We've had an audio statement released by ICE, by ISIS, saying that these attacks are coming to Europe, they're coming to the United States. And if you go on the Department of Homeland Security's website as of this afternoon, there's no mention of any terror threat in the United States. Is it because they are willingly allowing these individuals to pour right across the United States borders and infiltrate the United States? I mean, I'll get you out of here on this, Laura. What are your cyber intelligence experts telling you and intelligence experts telling you in your own reporting about what they fear is coming for the United States this calendar year in terms of attacks, infrastructure attacks, and more? Was this it? Are we going to see this the last of it, what we just saw in Oklahoma with that barge that hit there? Is that we're done now? We can go back to forgetting about all of these troubles?
So I can do better than tell you what they fear, right? What I can tell you is based on what they know. So what they know is that when you seek to dismantle a government or take over a country, you systematically break down its critical infrastructure. What are you going to do? What did we see when the U.S. invaded Iraq? We saw them, one of the first things that happens before you have any conventional troops on the ground, your advanced troops are going ahead. And what are they doing? They're taking over airfields. They're taking over oil fields, right? They're taking over your communication systems. So now that everything runs on cyber, even these old analog systems that we have, they have cyber systems overlaid on top of them. So people will try to attack you and say, well, this port's not important because we have other ports. What they don't tell you is those other ports are on a schedule. And you now have how many cargo ships that are out at sea that cannot come into that port? And it's kind of like when you take an airplane, right? Everybody knows if you miss your takeoff or landing time, and now you've got a circle in the air because they're trying to clear a gate for you. It's not that it's impossible. They find a way to do it. But sometimes it's so hard, you have to go and land at a nearby airport, right? Well, it's exactly like that in these ports. When you come in, you're on the clock. You've got to get that cargo off. You've got to follow maritime law. You've got to get, you know, that ship out of there because the next one is coming in. So it's not just a simple thing of, oh, just redirect these to other ports. Can it be done? Yes. Can you put some of that hazardous materials through the tunnels? Yes, you can do it. But what does it require? A permit, which takes time, which takes money, which takes an escort, which means shutting down the motorway, which means shutting down the tunnel, which means moving it only at night, and so on and so on. So, you know, all of these people, they throw in small amounts of information that are meant to dilute the information in front of people so that you cannot see the truth, right? And also in information warfare, what they're doing is increasing ambiguity. So it becomes harder and harder. The more information you have coming at you, the more sort of inputs, right? It becomes harder and harder for you to process all these things. Then they'll throw in some things that are blatantly false, like there's explosions, and you know, they'll come up with all kinds of things. Then they have their bots and their operatives who are staged throughout the information environment, who are now they have been masquerading as a conservative Anon, for example, you know, or a conservative site, maybe not Anon, maybe a site, for some time. And so they've built up a following inside the conservative community. And now they're saying things that are blatantly false. But, oh, wait a minute, that's coming from this guy, and I trust this guy. Does that remind you of election night, Clayton, when it was Fox News that called Arizona with less than 10% of the vote counted? What did that do to, you know, independents and conservatives in the country? They were like, wait a minute. If this had come from CNN, I wouldn't have believed them. But this is coming from Fox News. It must be true. Because here you've got a source that you've relied upon for a period of time and appears to you to be coming from the right. Of course, Fox News at that point obviously was no longer run by Roger Ailes, and it was no longer what people thought it was. And so what did they do? They've left in droves, right? And so they maintain their cover by keeping people like Tucker Carlson on until it becomes too costly, and then they get rid of him. Now, they've got other people that are, you know, very genuine about their reporting that help to restore some of your faith. So these are systematic operations. We have people that are highly trained and specialized in doing exactly this type of attack in foreign countries, right, who have been tasked by our own government to do this. So they're speaking from experience. And what they see when they see one systematic critical infrastructure attack after another are what they call, some of them call stacking operations, right? So on the one hand, you're testing those systems and you're seeing exactly how people respond, and you know then how to counter that response. If you want to create maximum effect, one of the things that you'll do is see, okay, so Ohio, how do communities in America respond when they're exposed to toxic chemicals? Can you issue a stay-in-place order that keeps everybody indoors? Are they going to obey that? And how much time do you have? So on the one hand, you've got probing and testing operations that are testing all of your systems. But what is of major concern here to the people who do this for our government or have been trained to do it for our government is that the other thing they're doing at the same time, you can do testing and probing operations at the same time as you're doing stacking operations, which means you are building up your plan, your strategic plan, so that when you do all of these things at the same time, you know exactly how to bring this country to its knees. And that is what they are seeing is movement towards a goal. They're not seeing there's a random, you know, attack here or a random testing operation over there. They are seeing something that to them is very systematic and organized. And it's very hard for people to piece it together because when they don't want you connecting those dots. You know, our ability to serially process information is impacted by the way we receive information today. And in the cyber realm and in social media, we have, you know, all of these inputs coming to us at once. And that collapses our ability to process information. And that's what they want to do. They're overloading you. They're distracting you with things that really don't matter. They're saying nothing to see here. Move on. Do you remember that from Benghazi? Do you remember that from how many other incidents that have happened over the years? Nothing to see here. Move on. We've got this. But what people, you know, what professionals in our government and some of them outside of our government, some of them in the industry, the oil industry, what they are seeing is the systematic dismantling of the United States' capabilities in one of the most critical strategic areas of energy and infrastructure. And that suggests to them that there is more, not only more coming, but a much, but a coordinated effort that will bring to bear the knowledge that they have gained and all of these different attacks at the same time. And that is of significant amount of concern. And this is not something that I'm just being told. I'm not some special, you know, I'm not getting some special briefing that they're not getting inside the government. Every part of the United States government has, who should be involved in this, has had the ability or been exposed to this information. What they choose to do with it is up to them. I'm not in control of that. None of us are. But we can put pressure on them by exposing it.
Right. They're being briefed on this. They know about this, and they're hiding it from the American people. I'll get you out of here on 100%. This, Laura. Are they telling you who is responsible for these 1,000 cuts? Are they pointing to a state actor? Are they pointing to a group of state actors? Where do you think this is coming from?
So this is the critical area that comes with time over an investigation. This is the part where you can identify instantly. You know, if you know that channel and you know maritime law and you know how that port operates and you know that area, you could see instantly from the video that that ship was not in the channel before it made that turn. You knew that that ship was not going to make that turn. If you understand science, the speed of the water, the weight of the ship, the weight of the cargo, the speed that the ship was going, how much room there is or isn't in this case to maneuver at that point, then you knew that that ship was going to crash. And if you know that bridge as a structural engineer, you knew that hitting it at that point, that anchor point closest to the shore, that's deeper, stronger, thicker than anything else, you knew that was going to bring down 50% of the span of that bridge. What you cannot say with any certainty without a full investigation and even even after a full investigation, will be very challenging, is who is responsible. So what you're going to find, you may have very strong indicators, and it's going to not just rest on the cyber information, right? Because that's where you're going to really struggle. This can be spoofed to make it look like it's coming from Iran or from China or from Russia, from any of the normal suspects, but it may not be coming from them. And so your investigators are going to have to piece together many different bits of information to come up with a collective picture in order, and it's not just going to come from the cyber evidence, because in cyber, you can mask your tracks. You can hide anything, and it is the invisible crime. So the people that I'm speaking to, they're very careful to stick to what they know, what they can verify, what they can back up, what they know to be true. They don't want to speculate. There are some, you know, obvious suspects, because when you look at the broader landscape, there are other indicators that point towards someone else, and there are the usual suspects. But I don't want to say it, because the truth is, I don't know the answer.
Right,
and
right.
I also try to stick to what I know.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And they can mask it. And wouldn't they love to throw us off the trail of what's really happening? At the end of the day, death by a thousand cuts, they're accomplishing their mission. You know, whether it's wildfires in West Texas wiping out the beef industry, whether it's, whether it's leaking 73,000 Americans' private data information to the dark web via an AT&T hack, whether it's wiping out an electrical grid in New York, causing a blackout, whether it's a terror attack on a bridge that shuts down a port, all of these things add up to the destruction of the United States. And that's ultimately their goal, which is what's happening right now. And it's absolutely terrifying. And, we have to rely on amazing journalists like you to be able to put this information out there with all of the thousand cuts that you take on a daily basis on social media. thank you for being brave. Thank you for joining us for the first time here on this show, and continue your great work, Laura. We really appreciate taking some time out to talk with us about this.
Well, I appreciate your bravery, because you'll be attacked just for having me on your show. And I can tell you, Clayton, I've reached the point now after more than a decade where the cuts just tickle. Yeah. They don't even draw blood at this point, you know. And in fact, they're quite amusing, because they are a roadmap. The cuts are a real indicator. I would urge everybody out there in your audience, the more you see somebody being attacked, the more important it is for you to take a critical look at what they're saying and the entire situation. You never have to take my word for it. That's not how journalism is supposed to work. You know, and it just makes me laugh when I see them going after anonymous sources, because, you know, as if anyone in this day and age, right, as if anyone in this day and age is going to keep their job or have a chance of survival if they come out there and tell you, you know, what they're the truth, when everyone in their hierarchy and in their command structure is saying the exact opposite. I mean, give me a break.
Right. We see that with whistleblowers. Even with whistleblower protection, they're still getting their lives destroyed, even if they have that protection. So exactly
right.
Laura Logan, great to have you here on the show. We really appreciate it. And we'll let you get back to it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Clayton. Take care.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.